We're turning this evening to the 63rd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 63. We're going to read together the first six verses of the chapter. Isaiah 63 and verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. The chapter commences with a question. Who is this? I'm going tonight to cut through all the argument and the suggested answers that sometimes are so scholarly as to sound stupid. The answers that range all the way from Nebuchadnezzar to some unknown champion of the Maccabean period, and a host of other suggestions. I'm going to cut through them all and give you the answer which I believe must have sprung to every believing heart and mind, merely and purely from the very wording of the scriptures as we have read them together tonight. Who is this? The answer is Christ. He is the one who is the great central actor in this passage of Scripture. That raises another question. To what action of Christ does this passage of Scripture refer? Some say that it is referring in poetic language to a judgment now past, long lost in the annals of Jewish history. Then there are others, and they say that this passage speaks of Calvary and of the mighty blood shedding of Christ upon the cross and his consequent exaltation to the throne. Then there are others, and they say that this undoubtedly speaks of the last judgment, of the coming of Christ in all his glory, when the day of vengeance is in his heart. Again, I think we can cut through the many interpretations and find that if we look very closely and carefully at how the passage is constructed, The prophet is inspired to write in two tenses. He starts off writing in the past tense, and then he moves to speak or put words into the mouth of Christ that are in the future tense. When the Lord Jesus appears upon the scene here, he has already trodden the winepress. His garments have already been stained with blood. And yet, the day of vengeance is yet future. For he says, I will tread them in mine anger. That is yet future. I want you to get the importance of how it is constructed. It seems to me that there are two great treadings in this passage of Scripture. There is first the treading at Calvary. Who is this whose garments are stained red? Who has stood alone in the winepress? It is the Christ who trod the winepress alone at Calvary. But it is that same Jesus who goes on immediately to say, I will tread them in mine anger, and their blood will be sprinkled upon my garments. I'm not alone in treating the text like this. I was reading the words of a great Welsh preacher who had the unusual name of Christmas Evans. Christmas Evans was a revival preacher, and very, very few men in the history of preaching have ever been so anointed of God to declare the glories of the Lamb. Dealing with this controversy as to whether Isaiah 63 is speaking of Mount Calvary or what he called Armageddon, Christmas Evans said, I am not willing to pass Mount Calvary and Joseph's new tomb on my way to the field of Armageddon. Nor am I willing to pause at the scene of the crucifixion and the ascension without going further on to the final conquest of the foe. I believe that divine inspiration has included both events in the text, the victory already won at Calvary, and the victory yet to be accomplished at Armageddon. And in a beautiful line, he sums up whatever a person's eschatology, he sums up a wonderful truth. The victory of Armageddon is obtained by virtue of the victory of Calvary. That's good theology. I believe it also happens to be very sound exegesis and exposition of Scripture. And so tonight I want us to turn to these verses in Isaiah 63, especially at the commencement. And I want us to think of the victory of Calvary, past, present, and future. There are two great treadings here, and I want us just to take a moment to think of the treading at Calvary and the treading of the winepress at the coming of Christ. First and foremost, Christ treading the winepress at Calvary. Many preachers in the very early days of the church, when they turned to Isaiah 63, believed that those who were asking the question here were the angels of God. May seem a little fanciful, but I don't think it's altogether beyond possibility. They pictured the scene of the angels of God looking upon Christ at his ascension and saying, who is this that cometh from Edom? And the words Edom and Bozrah are used in a representative sense, Edom signifying red. Obviously, tied in with the redness of the garments. Bozrah signifying the vintage. Who is he that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Who is this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? They pictured the angels gazing with admiration at the mighty, risen, conquering Christ, and they fill heaven with the question, who is this that cometh? And Christ answers, and his voice again fills the glory, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. There's the answer to the question, who is this? Some others have imagined that this is the church of the redeemed, and they're gazing with admiration upon Christ. But whoever the questioner is, the question and the answer are beyond any controversy. It's a question about Christ. It's the answer of Christ. And what an answer it is. I want you to see that first and foremost, he sets himself forth here as the solitary sufferer. Who is this? He comes with dyed garments. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Wherefore are thy garments like him that treadeth the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. And of the people, there was none with me. Alone in the darkness of Calvary, the Son of God trod the winepress of God's wrath. Thomas Kelly, the old hymn writer of the last century, put it this way, why that blood his raiment staining. 'Tis the blood of many slain, of his foes there's none remaining, none the contest to maintain, fallen they are no more to rise, all their glory prostrate lies. Who is this? He is the solitary sufferer. And as you see him as the victim of the center cross, I want you to see him not only buffeted by man, not only struck at by demons, but in the darkness of those hours on the cross, smitten of God and afflicted. He was treading the winepress alone. We sang the hymn this morning at the communion table concerning the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remarked then that unfortunately one of the most beautiful verses of that hymn was omitted from our book. Jehovah bade his sword awake. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy blood the flaming blade must slake, thy heart its sheath must be, all for my sake, my peace to make. Now sleeps that sword for me. The metaphor is different, but the truth is the same. Christ in the winepress alone. In many ways, you would say the blood upon his garments as he trod the grapes of the wrath of God was his own precious blood. The blood-soaked victim of the center tree has his own blood as his only vesture, as bearing all our sins in his body on the cross. He bears his heart to divine wrath to take away our sin. But there is the thought of conflict there. This who came with dyed garments had his garments dyed red with the blood of battle. What a picture it is. that they're all the foes of our salvation, came forth against our mighty champion. First in the line is Satan and his hosts. We were thinking this morning of a word that Paul used in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Thanks be unto God who always causeth us to triumph. And I remarked what a controversial word that was among scholars, to be sure of the translation. That word appears once more in the New Testament scriptures. And it's in Colossians chapter 2, where the apostle is speaking of Christ battling against all the forces and the furies of hell that were opposed to our redemption. And it says he made a sword, using this word again, triumphing over them in it, leading them on in the mighty train of his triumph, dragging them behind him as his defeated captives, Satan and his hosts, crushed by the power of him who stood as the solitary sufferer. So he defeated all hell for our salvation. Then, my friend, there was a much more potent foe. For as Christ Jesus went forth to the battle of the cross, the greatest we thank thee for the mighty risen sovereign. We thank thee, our God, for the one who is able to save to the uttermost. Oh God, how we bless thee that traveling in the greatness of his strength, he traveled the road that I was on and many others in this meeting. He came to the place where we lay in the chains of sin, fast bound in the midnight blackness of our own depravity and corruption. And oh, how we praise thee that there the mighty traveler lifted us out of the darkness and broke the power of sin and led us on in the train of his triumph. Our God, we bless thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our earnest prayer tonight that thou wilt make much of him. And after this meeting is over, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt instill it into the hearts of all who have heard how great is our Redeemer. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. O Lord, remember those who know him not. Gracious Father in heaven, have mercy upon them. How can men and women live and die with a dead religion, but no living redemption in Christ? O God, have mercy and bring souls to a living faith in a living Redeemer. O Lord, we pray tonight that thou wilt break through to hearts that need the Savior, and this very Sabbath evening save their souls. Lord, there are souls headed for the judgment, headed for the winepress of the wrath of God. O Lord, we pray, save them. Save them. For thy great name's sake, complete our families in Christ. Bring loved ones to the Savior. And grant that not one man or woman or child will go out of this meeting rejecting the Lord Jesus. And grant that there not the one go out naming his name, but living a life half-heartedly, a life of defeat. Lord, speak to us now. And produce lasting fruit for the preaching of thy word. We do want every head bowed in prayer, and we do want every eye closed. In just a moment, this meeting will be over, and you'll be free to leave. I wonder how you leave. Will You leave as one covered by the blood of Calvary? Or will you leave as one who is a candidate for the judgment of God? If you're not saved tonight, I trust you'll come to Christ. If I can help you in the things of God, I ask you to remain as the others leave. Don't go away without the Lord Jesus. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in His Word, He has shown you the way. Here in our midst, He's standing today, tenderly saying, come. I'll be here as the others leave. Come and have a word with me. I'd be glad to point you to Christ. Father in heaven, hear our prayer. Part us with thy blessing. The blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it, be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought church, both this Sabbath evening and until that day dawns and the shadows all flee away, and we see Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.